For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend, but now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club, and let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give 2 chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me 2 chickens and go, here you go, here are 2 chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters.
None of that.
Yeah, but none of that does any good, but... In developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, the things we did not get to during the course of the day today. And sometimes we do things that didn't make the air because...
Oh, yes.
They're like controversial or sometimes just too sad in this case, or that people like wouldn't take it the right way. But man, this one was a call that came in. We were talking about this Amazon driver. If you've already listened to the regular podcast, some of this is review for you. But we're talking about this Amazon driver who got a job and he didn't realize all that came with that job. Like, they don't tell you everything. And you get here and you're like, oh, wow, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be. Or you didn't tell me that I had to do this. And so that was kind of what he was walking through. So we asked people, hey, Colin, what's that job that you had that they didn't tell you everything? And you were a little surprised. And this little gem came in from Brenda. Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. And when companies hire you, they put their best foot forward, and it's that great honeymoon period, and you're so excited to start that new job. But then you get into it a little bit, and sometimes there are things that they didn't tell you or you didn't realize about the job. Has that ever happened to you, Brenda?
Yeah, I used to be a kennel tech, and they didn't tell me that I would end up having to hold animals as they were being put to sleep.
Oh no. You're like, that is not what I signed up for. You know, mildly cleaning up after an animal, that's fine. You know, loving on them, playing with them, throwing them a chew toy while they wait for the doctor, absolutely. But boy, that is hard.
Yeah. Especially one of them. He was this really old Doberman. His name was Jake, the sweetest dog ever. But he always carried around a golf ball. And when it was time to be put to sleep, he had the golf ball in his mouth. And we knew when he died because the golf ball rolled out.
Oh, come on. You just made me so sad, Brenda.
Poor Jake.
Poor Jake, no. Poor me for having to hear that story, man. It was one of those things that just kept getting worse and kept getting worse. Like, oh my goodness, I'm like, I can't run that like on the show.
No, but it was
funny.
It was funny.
Yeah, it's funny. Good old Jake. Have you ever had to put down an animal?
When I was with my family back in, we were living in Texas. We had to put down a cat that we'd had for I think over.
Did you have to go?
Yeah,
you did.
Well, so
how old were you?
I was like 16, maybe 17.
Okay.
So
yeah.
We didn't, I mean, I didn't have to go.
Yeah.
But it was just weird for me because I'm like, oh, I haven't spent a day of my life without this cat, even though I didn't really like that cat.
You're like, I'll do it.
I know. I was in the room when they, you know, administered the shot and actually like just kind of like.
You laughed. You giggled.
No, I broke down crying.
Did you?
Which was just like a very odd reaction because I didn't love that cat. So.
Yeah. It's hard. Like when I was a kid, my dad had to take care of like my favorite childhood dog, you know, and I didn't know how hard that was. And then when we had to put down Hank. Oh, man. Like, because one of my cats I had to put down, we had her for 15, 17 years, and I didn't go in with them. They're like, do you want to come back or do you want us just to do it? And I'm like, you can just do it. This is, you're a service industry, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, and you're not going to judge me because I'm not going to do this. And then the last one was Hank, which was my wife's favorite cat in the world. And when we put him down, she's sobbing and I'm crying. She's literally hyperventilating. Like, I don't even get to just sit in the moment with putting down this cat and feeling bad about this because my attention instantly shifts to, I think she's going to pass out. Yeah. Like, she's, like, literally hyperventilating. And I'm like, okay, well, now I got to triage this situation. And then she let me know. She's like, yeah, when it's time for Sasha, I'm not going. And yeah. I'm like, that's fine. I'll give you a pass. I'll take care of it.
A learned lesson at that point.
That's
I do
what
think,
we have to do.
I think, like, we've made the joke before. I'm not going to take a day off when Ellie passes away.
No.
But I think that that's going to stink.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's going to be heartbreaking. And I hope that it can happen early in the day, so that I can take the evening to grieve, because it's that'll be a bummer.
Yeah, for sure, but it is. Like, yeah, the people that are like, oh, I had to put my dog down, I'm taking 3 days off. Like, what in the world?
Or maybe she can just do it on a Friday.
I know. Or I mean, like, my wife had our daughter on a Friday, so I took Friday off, and then I had Saturday, Sunday. And I think I might have taken Monday off. I think I took a total of 2 days off for the birth of my child.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
was back at work. You know, it's like, that's just the old school mentality.
I might take a little more time than that.
For a kid, I would expect
okay,
that.
I'm glad that you do have that expectation.
No, now, like, I've seen the error of my ways, like, because that time is really difficult for your wife especially. And if you can be there just to be an extra set of hands,
yeah.
just to, like, help her navigate it, because you get home and you have this baby, you take it home, and there's no rules for this thing. Like, they give you a whole bunch of
do's and don'ts.
Do's and don'ts. Nate Bargatze has a great bit on, they said, whatever you do when you take this, do not shake the baby. And he's like, you get home and you're like, all you remember is, was I supposed to shake this baby? You know, he's, because everything goes out the window, you forget everything. And so, yeah, I would definitely be in support of guys being involved in their family from an early time and going, yeah, I'm going to take a week off. Like, I get that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say take 2 weeks off or a month unless there's complications. But, yeah, take a solid week and, you know, go be with your family. That's understandable.
But not pets. To tail back to that, again, it is sad, and more people have probably much stronger connections than maybe the two of us have used to their pets. But, you know, work is like work.
I know. And I'm going to need a picture that you did actually have a child just for legal purposes. Okay, he actually did have a kid. He's not just, I've had 6 kids this week, and you take 6 weeks off, you know, or 6 kids this year.
I think I remember a story of a woman who was like doing that, where she would take 3 months off from maternity leave, and then the next year she would have another kid.
Yeah.
And she did that for 5 years straight until they found out.
Oh, that's crazy.
Just playing the system, I guess.
Absolutely. All right. So we'll get into a little bit of the thing I promised on the show. Again, if you listen to the podcast,
the rant.
You know this. The rant.
When you forecast your rants, you know that it's something you've been thinking about.
Yeah. This has been bothering me for a little bit of time, is the inequity in our world that we live in, and how I'm not conspiracy-minded for the most part, or I'm not that person that's like, you are taking away my religious freedoms, I'm so angry at you, and we're persecuted, because as a church, we don't fully know what persecution, real persecution is. But I do think that there is a bias. There's an anti-Christian bias that exists, and it is palpable, and it is something that cannot continue to go on. Like, there's a point at which you have to say, all right, you know what? You can stand up for everything you believe and your truth and your truth, and you can do this and do this and do this, and everyone applauds you as a hero. But there also, you can stand up for your faith and say, no, this is important to me, and I think my faith should be allowed to be represented. And like, if you support everybody else's ideology or theology, you have to then also accept mine. But that doesn't really feel to be the case in our world. So here is the thing. There was a coach in Washington, and he would pray after the football games on the 50-yard line. And it was a big deal at the school, actually. He got suspended in 2015 over these prayers. And his thing was, look, I promised God this was going to be my thing that I did. Like, so it was deeper for him. And he wasn't like, you have to come out here and join me. It was just his thing he did. The rules are, you cannot pray in eyesight of any kid or out loud. Like, what in the world? You want to know why we got problems? We've removed God from every part of our society, and we continue to do that more and more and more. No wonder our kids are jacked up, you dummies. You can't figure this out? Like, really? You wonder what's going on. You've taken God out, and you've taken faith, and you've taken morals, and you've taken all of this stuff and set it aside for my truth, you know. And so this guy, you know, is trying to get the right back to do this again. And so the problem, though, is, you know, this man is being suspended for praying while people are literally pushing to teach your child in public school at a very early age that they can do things like choose their own mm-hmm. gender and navigate their sexuality at 8 years old. Are you kidding me? So you're taking something that is a good thing, like praying for these kids, and you're saying that that's bad, but you know what? We want to be open-minded, and everybody has a say, and you can do whatever you want. That's good. Do you see the agenda? Do you see the potential damage? We vilified faith and celebrated cerebral lunacy by substituting God's truth for our ridiculous version of truth. And this is part of why things are so messy in the world. Substituting God's truth for our truth is dangerous because our truth is not right. Our truth is skewed. Our truth is selfish. Our truth is a lie that damages people. And when that becomes your gold standard for how you're going to live your life and then impose that on other people, no wonder we are messed up. It is crazy. The coach said, you know, this is a right for anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter what religion or religion you have or no faith whatsoever. Everybody has the same rights in America, and I should have this right. And I agree with him. I guarantee you, if this dude went to the center line, the 50-yard line, rolled out a mat, faced west towards Mecca, and started bowing and praying to Allah, people would be like, yes! Yes, way to stand up for your faith, and we're not going to judge you. We cannot at all talk bad or censor someone else's faith. I guarantee you that would be the case. I promise you. But like with Christianity, it's like, nope, sorry, you guys are, you know, hate mongers, and we don't want any more of your influence in our world. Now, full disclosure, there has been a little bit that we have done wrong in the past as a faith, and we have gotten it wrong, and we haven't led with love. We need to lead with love, you know, and we are suffering from the sins of our past a little bit, too. But, man, this was crazy. I mean, think about it. If he went out to the 50-yard line there, and he's hanging out with these kids, and he's praying, and he's praying for his players, and he's telling them that they're loved by God, that they're valued, they were created for a purpose. That is a good message to give to these kids, but instead he's punished for that. But if he goes out there to that 50-yard line, lines all these guys up there and goes, guys, guess what? You guys can be girls today. Do you feel like being girls? You can be girls. You can be any kind of girl you want. He would be celebrated. He'd be teacher of the year. He'd be a hero. Way to go. Way to stand up for telling people that they can be what they want to be. Throw out truth. God's truth. Throw that out the window, because that doesn't matter, because we're living my truth now. That is the problem. And again, we got breakdowns of family. You look at why we're in such a mess, why our state of our world is jacked up. It's truth and it's breakdown of family. Those two things, I think, are responsible for so many of the ilks. You know, like, look at these kids that lose their minds and they go and they do these horrible things, you know, to other kids and things like that, because there wasn't a family member involved, a family member that gave a rip about that kid, a member that invested in that child and said, hey, I see some warning signs. Let's address this. Let's work through this. They're just left to have somebody else raise them. They're somebody else's problem. That's part of the overall problem that we're experiencing in this day and age. So, I'm not that person that raises the big flag and says we're being oppressed. I haven't been, but I'm seeing more and more of it, and it's getting more and more blatant today. And that's where I think that we have the right, done properly, we do have the right to say, no, you know what? Enough is enough. You can have your opinion. That's fine. But I can push for my opinion as well. And we'll see where this whole thing shakes out. We'll see in the next election where this whole thing shakes out. This is going to be fascinating. In three years from now, after the amount of your truth, leftist, liberal, you know, bias and how everything's okay and there's nothing off limits except Christianity and morals, like, it'll be really interesting to see what the country does. Does the country, when you're left to having no boundaries and everything's fair game, at some point, people do need boundaries. They crave boundaries, like kids. Kids crave boundaries. And so at some point, do people go, boy, you know what? That didn't make me feel any better. That's weird. I had the right to do all this stuff, and they gave me this, and I still feel like garbage. Maybe there's something else missing. And maybe then they find God. They find that God-shaped hole in their hearts that all of their own truth, you know, bucket loads of truth of their own truth couldn't fill. And I'm real curious to see what happens next. And sadly, that's not to say that the Republican Party is the God party, because God knows they got their issues, and God knows they got their hypocrisies and their sin. I'm not equating Republicans with Christian, okay? And because Democrats are Christians, Republicans are Christians, there are two schools of thought as to, you look at the abortion bans that have been put in place in different cities and states. And so that is more aligned with the Republican Party. And so will there be a resurgence of getting back to and reigning in after, these 4 years? And then we had 4 years before that, or 8 years, I guess, with Obama. And so, you know, that's been a long, long time. You know, and then we had Trump, which was, that was crazy town, too. So,
we swung a lot of directions in the extreme direction.
Absolutely.
We went from far this to far that in a lot of ways. And I think that that's chaos that does no good for the country.
Do people get tired of yo-yoing? Probably. And in this next election, I have a feeling it's going to be another yo-yo.
I don't
think it's going to be a, hey, let's just move. We're way over here on the left now. Let's move to center. I think it's going to be, all right, let's go way back to the right, which, again, I don't think is the right answer either. I do think finding center, finding balance, finding common ground and a place that everyone can exist and, you know, still feel valued, but then, because somebody told me years ago, like, your freedom ends where someone else's begins, you know, and that's the ebb and flow of democracy. And so finding that sweet spot, you know, where people can just live, exist, and be and get along is difficult. And I don't know if you can ever truly find it, because maybe that's more utopian.
I do feel like the sweet spot, you know, if you're talking about this coach's situation, it feels like the sweet spot is, and I don't know how he does the whole prayer thing. If he, you know, if he has the team line up,
sure,
or, you know, meet in the middle of the field and then starts a prayer.
It was voluntary.
If it's hey, if you want to come to the middle of the field, I'm going to pray.
Right.
I think that that's fine, because if you have a kid in that group whose parents are teaching him a different type of religion,
right,
and he doesn't feel comfortable, then he can just stay back. And then that's it.
Okay. See, now that makes sense. But there was a parent that was like, it was mad about this because of all the other kids that don't have religion or different religions, and you're marginalizing them and they feel left out.
Yeah, that's
silly. My gosh. Guess what? People are going to leave you out sometimes. That is life. Either you go and you do this thing or you don't. It's not the end of the world. Like, you have other things you can do. You can relate to this coach on other areas as well, too, other than this one-minute prayer on the field.
You know? People decide, I think, sometimes to die on a hill because it feels like you do have to react. I feel like that's one thing that I'm learning, is that I think sometimes people feel like they have to react when something doesn't line up with what they believe. When it's a group of people that have history that isn't as clean as we'd love it to be, per se. But if it's all voluntary, then say, okay, great. Like, I'm not glad.
And it's not punitive. Yeah. It's not like, oh, well, if you're not out here, the coach is not going to play you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. But anyway, so that's that. We talked a little bit the other day about childhood actors and the struggle that that is for so many of them and how they got messed up. Cole Sprouse, do you know that name?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Yeah, he was just in a movie that Haley and I watched this last weekend. with kids going to Mars or something.
Oh, okay. I'm curious, like, because Cole and Dylan Sprouse were twins,
yeah.
and they were on Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, and then The Sweet Life on Deck.
Yep.
And I actually used to like those shows. I watched them with my daughter.
They were good.
Yeah, I found it was entertaining. I had interviewed him years ago.
Oh, did you really?
I think, yeah, I was at Radio
Disney.
He would
have been pretty young.
Probably eight.
Okay.
That's like really young, yeah. And he had said that, man, it was definitely hard growing up in this world. And he even says that, like, young women on Disney Channel were heavily sexualized, you know, and way more than obviously him and his brother. But he said, honestly, I wasn't prepared for that world. And, you know, he's like, I had this career starting so young before I even had the time to think, do I enjoy this? You know, and sometimes the thing you love becomes work. That's the hardest part about any career, is you start off doing something you love and then it becomes a job. And that would be the thing with acting. You think, oh, I want to be famous, and then it becomes a job and it becomes hard. He actually took a break and went back to college and got a degree from New York University in archaeology, of all things.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool.
It'd be cool to see him turn to that someday as a passion that wouldn't turn into, you know, a thing that people are like critiquing him for on the internet all the time.
Or is he playing the long game and he's looking to be the next Indiana Jones, like in the new installment of that?
Who knows?
I got an archaeology degree.
Might need to add a little bit more weight and suave, because he still feels like a kid every time I see him.
I wonder what happened to his brother, like Dylan. Like, did Dylan go on to do anything?
So I've seen him in a couple acting pieces. He was in...
How do you know they're twins?
Well, that's true. You do have to, like, look at the IMDb page.
They were a little bit different, though, too, like, in their structure. Like, they were identical twins, but Dylan was super skinny, and Cole was a little bit stockier.
Yeah.
Like, during the...
It was enough to...
You could tell.
Sometimes, but, like, if it was a quick glance, you wouldn't just be able to pinpoint them.
Well, because I guess Cole is went on to be in Riverdale. Have you seen that at all?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a character called Jughead. He's just, like, another sort of, like, nerdy character. It's not a really good show.
Was A.J. Appa? K.J. Appa. Because he was the guy that played young Jeremy Camp in the Jeremy Camp movie. And he was really good in that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was good in that.
Yeah, he plays Archie in...
Okay, so it's basically the Archie comics.
Yes, because he's like the redheaded character in that. They mega dye his hair red for that show.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. I've never seen...
It's a show that, like, I wouldn't recommend to a lot of people for certain content. But also, it's just like high schoolers doing the most dramatic things on God's green earth, where you're like, that's not realistic at all.
Okay. Well, there you go. Do you got any birthdays?
I do.
I'm tired. I've punched myself out.
Oh, no, there wasn't. That was one from yesterday. So we do not have a birthday on this date in particular.
Okay.
I can do a question if you would like.
Sure.
What is the most embarrassing parent moment that your parents had to endure because of you?
Oh, jeez.
Not that I think that you have those.
I've got a couple. I think when I went canoeing with a guy that was staying with us that they didn't really know. He was like a friend of my sister's in college, and he didn't go home for Christmas or whatever, or Thanksgiving. So we had him staying with us, and we went out fishing, and it got really dark, and we weren't back yet. And my dad had told me to be home, but we were fishing, and it was just like this older guy. So, like, you know, he's like, oh, we're fine. We're out fishing. And we came back, and as we canoed around the corner towards my house, I see a giant light in the sky, and it's a police helicopter searching for us.
No way.
Yes. My parents thought we were drowned and didn't come back in, and they called the police, and the police sent up the helicopter looking for us. And I will never, ever forget my dad's face as I'm paddling up to the thing. I wanted to just stay out. I'm like, I do not want to get out of this boat. So I paddle up to the thing. And my dad is underneath the helicopter. The light is right on him, and he's trying to show the pilots, yeah, this, we found them, this is them. And I remember him kind of putting his hands together, like, you know, that praying thing, or like a Middle Eastern, like a bow, like a Chinese bow kind of thing, and him looking down at them, like bowing, like, thank you, thank you. And then him looking at me.
And just the fire in his eyes.
Oh, his look changed. Look was totally different, man. Like, I got a scruff of the neck grab. And
yep.
It was was one of those things. He was hugging me because he was so glad that I was alive. And there was a moment where he was like almost crying. But then he was so mad that I had stayed out and had been reckless. And so, yeah, I'll never forget that.
I think that the amount of love a parent has for you is something that you just don't always see, especially from certain types of like dads who are tough and gruff and all that. But in moments like that, when their child potentially is like gone, and you know, you're like, I don't know what happened to him. He might be like in the water and I'll never see him again. Like, he's like all those thoughts running through his head, but then snaps back to the you're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm gonna murder you. Yeah. So you're gonna, you know what? These cops need to stay here.
You're gonna wish
I'm
you
like,
had.
Please don't leave. Please don't leave me alone. This is gonna be bad.
That was not something that I was such a quiet, calm kid that I was not like a one to like draw attention to me as
Rules
a kid.
Follower.
I think that if I'm thinking of one moment, it was like YMCA, and back when my mom, I think, volunteered there, and then I would be a kid who, I don't remember if you got babysat there or what. I was like tiny, but I ran into a room and I hugged someone that I thought was my mom.
No.
And it wasn't. No. And my mom, I just looked over and I just saw her face being like, what are you doing to that woman?
I found a better mom.
No.
See ya.
I would never say that.
All right, that's going to do it for our Aftercast for today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.